We're going to be talking this morning about the powers that be. We're going to John chapter 15 and verse 12 through 17, so you can find that spot in your Bible there. We'll just get rolling. I hope this message is not going to be too long because the subject matter is such that I really don't want to preach this very long. So I think you'll figure it out here pretty soon. Jesus said, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you." Now, I want you to pay particular attention to that because that's the part of this text that's going to be our centerpiece today. "For all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that you love one another." When the Lord leads us to preach about friendship, about loving one another, this passage of Scripture is doubtless going to be included in that text. This, however, there is this promise in the middle of this for us that is seldom mentioned or taught upon. And Jesus said, "For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you." Now, I'm aware that through the Word of God, within the Bibles that we carry, this promise has been fulfilled. We have been given all the things that Jesus speaks of in this particular sentence. But today we're going to look at some of the things that the Lord wants His friends to understand. Do you count yourself as a friend of the Lord?
Amen.
Well, He is certainly our friend. I don't think you're very much going to like what I'm going to preach today. As a matter of fact, I don't very much like what I'm going to preach today. As you may know, I'm not really very much into politics. But that doesn't mean that I'm not aware of what's going on in our country today. Now, we have just witnessed and what is probably the most miraculous large-scale event any of us are ever going to see. I don't know if we recognized it for what it was, but the most widely supported incumbent president in the history of the United States, with a larger active political following than anyone has ever seen, had been not only put out of office, but nearly put in prison. You would have said 6 months ago that this was absolutely impossible, and you would have been right. It was impossible, but it happened. Our country is now in the hands of Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, and Nancy Pelosi. Now, after witnessing the venom and the hatred that is coming from our political left, well, let's put it this way. I would not sell life insurance to Joe Biden or Kamala Harris. I'm no prophet, but don't be surprised if within the next 4 years you see Nancy Pelosi sworn in as your president. I want you to understand something. America as we have known it is over. It's not just in trouble, it's over. Taxes, jobs, debt, the freedom that so many have died for will never be the same again. It's never going to be the same again. You might as well swallow it and get used to the idea. There is no coming back from where America has come. In Proverbs chapter 6, "These six things, verse 16, doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue." So far, we're pretty well on track here. I'm only going to go to the third one, "hands that shed innocent blood." Look at number 3 on that list. Let me tell you this morning about 2017, quite a year, wasn't it? Hurricane Harvey, right? You remember Hurricane Harvey? But there's something more significant about 2017 than Hurricane Harvey. In 2017, there were 862,230 babies murdered in the womb in the United States of America. 862,320. And that number is from a website where the pro-abortion crowd is bragging on it. 2017 is special because that year was the lowest number of babies murdered in the womb by abortion since 1973. That was the lowest number of them all. 1/4 of all the women in the U.S. will get an abortion before age 45. 59% of women who are getting an abortion are already mothers. Do you know what that means? That means we're not talking about scared, desperate teenagers. We're talking about mothers who have held that newborn to their breast and have witnessed the incredible miracle of life and then killed the next one. How far does it have to fall into the pits before God is not going to put up with it anymore? And this is just one of the sins our nation is accountable for before God. And I'm not going to depress you with the list any further, although it is extensive. Proverbs 29, verse 2. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. We don't mourn. We're used to it. We don't see the blood and the gore. It's just kind of numbers to us now. It's been going on so long. But God sees it. And He sees it all. Every one. And I can only praise God for the fact that every one of those murdered children are with the Lord Jesus Christ today. Amen. That's the only consolation I can find in any of this. Do you think that God is just going to let all of that go? No. America has not mourned, but she's going to. God is bringing America into judgment, and it's going to affect all of us. That promise that we always hear about, you know, the one that God made King Solomon. What about that promise? Let me read it to you in 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Do you see anyone humbling themselves? Look around. What's going on in our country? Is that what you're seeing in America? Who do you see in America that's turning from their wicked ways or even praying about it for that matter? And we think, well, how could God allow something like this to happen in America? The leadership in America today isn't something we're going to be able to come back from. We're God's people. We're a Christian nation. I've got some news for you today, and I hope you'll still love me after I tell you. But God did more than just allow this to happen. This is not something God just allowed. The powers that be are ordained of God. Do you understand what that means? It was an absolute impossibility for Trump to lose this election. Elections don't put leaders in power.
Amen. Amen.
God does.
Right.
Let me read you some scripture. Psalm 75, verse 6. For promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south, but God is judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another. For in the hand of the Lord There is a cup, and the wine is red. It is full of mixture, and he poureth out of the same, but the dregs thereof all the wicked of the earth shall wring them out and drink them. Daniel chapter 2, verse number 20. And Daniel answered and said, Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changeth the times and the season. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. If there is one thing that you have been witness to lately, is that it is not the votes of the people that decide the outcome of an election in this country or any other. God decides the outcome.
Amen.
I don't like it, but I know who put our leadership in office. Now, we know that Satan is good at what he does. I would, God, that I was nearly as good at what I do as Satan is at what he does. Do you understand? I'm not praising him, but you got to give the devil his due, as they say. We know that Satan is good at what he does, but God did this. Romans 13, verse 1. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. Now catch this. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. You did not read it wrong. The powers that be are ordained of God. And some of you, I know, come on, Pastor, how can that be right? Do you mean that the Romans that fed the Christians to the lions were ordained of God? I realize that's a little hard to swallow. But I believe Pilate was one of those Romans, was he not? Was not Pilate a Roman? Let me read to you John chapter 19, verse number 10. Then Pilate saith unto him, and he's talking to Jesus, who's been brought before him, Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee and have power to release thee? Jesus answered, Thou couldst have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from where? Yes, God uses both the evil and the just. Proverbs 16:4. The Lord hath made all things for himself, even the wicked, for the day of evil. I told you weren't going to like it. I don't like it either. So where does that leave us? Well, that depends on whether you trust God or not. Do you?
Amen.
Do you trust Him?
Amen.
You okay with His decisions, even maybe when you don't understand them or
Amen.
Don't like them? God told us that suffering would come. Didn't He not? 1 Peter 3, I won't read them all, I'll just pick one here. Verse 14, But and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Having a good conscience that whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. For Christ also hath suffered for sin, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. God told us that suffering would come. God told us that persecution would come. Now, we haven't felt the sting of it that much here in our little safe haven in Dickinson, Texas, but we will. 2 Timothy 3:12, Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. God also told us that he would see us through it. Now, I'll get to preach something that you'll like, okay? Hebrews 13:5, let your conversation, your behavior, your manner of life be without covetousness. We're going to have to start living for whatever we can gain and the next cool thing we can get. We're going to have to start living for bigger causes and better reasons than that. And be content with such things as ye have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee.
Amen.
Do you trust God? I'll ask you again.
Amen.
You see, for us, nothing has changed. In John 15, verse 16, we read it. Jesus said, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever ye ask, ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. Now, I know he's talking to the apostles here, but I also know that God chose me. And you need to understand that God chose you.
Right.
If you belong to Jesus Christ,
amen.
You are one of the chosen. He said, these things I command you, that you love one another. Folks, as long as we love one another and serve the Lord, it really won't make a whole lot of difference what's going on in the rest of the world. We'll have our haven in Christ. Our job, our calling, our great commission is still to reach as many with the gospel as we possibly can. Winning souls, one at a time, as the Lord draws them and brings them our way, and as we have opportunity. That's our job, and it's not going to change because America, as we know it, is gone away. And it's going away even further away than it is now. But that's not all. We are co-laborers with God. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9, for we are laborers together with God. Now, if we understand that what is happening is of the Lord, and Jesus said, I will reveal to you, my friends, what you need to know. And if I haven't proven it in Scripture already to you today, I think you've not been paying attention. This is of the Lord, what's going on in this country today. And if we understand that it is ordained of God, surely that should affect how we respond to it. We ought to at least cooperate with what we know that God is doing. So how do we respond in this case to what we know is evil? Do we stand up and do we shout, evil, 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 they're evil? Do we protest? Do we fight? What do we do? Now, our instructions for this may surprise you and no doubt will disappoint some of you. You know, some of you like to fight, I think. Wouldn't mention any names, but 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. Paul said, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a what? Quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 9. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed ye do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia, but we beseech you, brethren, that you increase more and more, and that you study to be quiet, and to do your own business, and to work with your own hands as we commanded you. Romans 13, verse 2, whosoever therefore that resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. Acts 23, 5, then Paul said, after the high priest commanded him to be struck across the mouth, probably with a club or a rod, He said, I wist not, brethren, that he was the high priest, for it is written, and he's quoting the law in Exodus 22, verse 28, thou shalt not speak evil of the ruler of thy people. That's going to be a little hard for some of you. But it's still the command. 1 Peter 2 and verse 18, servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to those rotten to the core. That's what froward means. Concerning those powers that be, God commands, Romans 13, 5, wherefore you must needs be subject, not only for wrath, not only because of their anger that's going to come if you're not, but also for conscience sake. The powers that be are ordained of God, and if we are the servants of God, if we are the co-laborers with God, then we are commanded to cooperate. Now, I didn't go ahead and put what might be a part two in here about the things that could be exceptions to that rule. And I know that when they commanded Peter, the powers that be commanded Peter not to preach in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, he preached anyway and said, should we obey God or men? And I know there are certain exceptions, but there aren't that many. Let me remind you of what the Lord sent us last week. Luke 12 and verse 32, fear not, little flock. And it's a little flock. That's who we are. He must have been talking about Lighthouse, because that's who we are. We're the little flock. For it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Nothing that happens around us, nothing that happens in our country, nothing that happens in our state or in our world is going to interrupt God's flow of blessings as He takes care of His children. Amen. We are His children. We are the sheep of His pasture. And He loves us. And He's not going to quit taking care of us because of the evil judgment that He has already been forced to start pouring out in this country. Our God is bigger than the circumstances that surround us. Now, sure, we can hang our heads and we can mourn for the America that used to be. And I realize that it's sad. I was born in 1950. I saw an America that all but a handful of you who got grayer or less hair than me, I saw in America that you're the only ones that know what it was like. You're the only ones that know about the respect that once was for the Word of God. You're the only ones that know about the caring about integrity and honesty and righteousness. It's not like that in America anymore. Now, we can hang our heads and we can mourn for the America that used to be, or you and I can lift up our eyes and realize that this world was not our home anyway.
Amen.
I love America, but she's not my home.
That's right.
I am just a sojourner passing through, because in Christ we own the promises of Abraham and we are citizens of a better land than the United States of America.
Come on.
In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 8, and yes, there is a better land than the United States of America. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out unto a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whether he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Now, we talk about the promised land being Israel, and yeah, it was in a type, the promised land. But Abraham didn't get to have that for his promised land, did he? Abraham, verse number 10, and for he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. He was looking way beyond Jerusalem, because that's where his citizenship is. And if you're in Jesus Christ, that's where your citizenship is. And I know for absolute certain that that is where my citizenship lies. I don't know about you, but my goal is to live life, to win as many souls as I can, and to enjoy life as much as I can, and do all that I can to make every day count for God's glory. I don't have a purpose bigger than that. I don't have goals any bigger than that. Because of what Jesus did for me on the cross, because He died and was buried and rose again and paid my debt, I am free in Christ no matter what restrictions the government or the world may place upon me. I am free in Jesus Christ. And I think I've figured out what the Lord is trying to show me. Now, I can use the breath and the influence that I have been given to expose the evil leadership that we are under. Or I can use the breath and the influence that I have been given to expose as many as I can to the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And yes, I will pray for President Biden. I may not be able to do it with as much enthusiasm as I prayed for President Trump, but I will do it nonetheless. He is my president. God made him my president.
That's right.
He said, I don't like that. Well, I don't know if God cares much whether you like it or not. But it's His decision.
Amen.
And the one thing that I know that you understand, if you've been paying attention at all, nobody but God could have done it. And nobody but the Lord could have done what we've seen happen during this last election cycle. I don't know what the invitation is going to be about today. I know that we need to be about the business that we're called to be about. I'm not going to be involved in politics. You're not going to hear me preach much about politics. You know why? Because it's a waste of my breath. They're going to do what they're going to do, regardless of what you and I think or say about it. And I've got more important things to talk about. I'm going to talk about how sweet it is to trust in Jesus. Amen? I can talk about what it's like to have a personal, walking, talking, breathing relationship with the God of heaven, the creator of this universe. The one that can do anything. The one who can supply every need. The one who's bigger than all my problems. I love being able to tell my problems how big my God is instead of just telling God how big my problem is. Amen? I know it's a mess out there. Anybody that's paying attention does. But it's not a mess in here. In here we have peace. In here we have order. In here we have a provider and a protector. In here we have love, the real thing. I don't know if you need to just be thankful. If you're not saved, please let me help you. If you've never been through basic Bible truths, let's get us set up and get you started so you can learn the things you need to know to be certain that you're going to heaven. Not only that, to be certain that you're on your right track here in this world. Whatever the need, let us be there for you today.